The scripture reading for this morning is John 14:12. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father.
Good morning, First Baptist Church of Flushing. It is great to worship together with you on this beautiful Sunday. I have a few housekeeping items I want to take care of before we jump into our message. First, in exactly 10 days, we are exactly 10 days from the start of Lent. Now, for those of you who may not be familiar with the season of Lent, it is the 40-day period, not including Sundays, between Ash Wednesday, which will be on March 6th of this year, and Holy Saturday. Originally, Lent was a time of preparation for those who are getting ready to be baptized. Later on, it was expanded to include the larger Christian community. Lent is a time of prayer, a time of repentance, a time of humility, self-denial, a time of soul-searching as one draws closer to Christ, and it culminates in the celebration of the resurrection. Now, around the time of Lent, people will start talking about something they want to give up. Some people give up chocolate, some people give up Facebook, some people give up soda. In my family, we do that, and we have fun with that. Recently, my daughter said that she is going to give up YouTube. And I was like, whoa, you can do that? Now, I'm not quite set on it, but I think I'm going to give up coffee. I'm kind of scared because of the kind of monster that might come out. But I want to echo the wise words of a Christian who said, Lent is less about giving up and more about giving in and giving to. Because Jesus didn't ask you to give up coffee, he asked you to surrender your life. As you contemplate this season of Lent that we will soon enter into, continually ask yourself, how are you giving in to the ways of God? And as you give up something, replace it with something beautiful that honors the Lord, whether it be justice, compassion, mercy, humility, generosity. Let this coming season of Lent be a season that places God at the center, and let it be a season of growth. Now, secondly, today is Amnesty Sunday. You'll notice as you receive your bulletin today, it came with a name tag. Now, if you haven't gotten a name tag, feel free to raise your hand and the ushers will be passing out those name tags for you as well. This is just a small step that we want to take here at First Baptist Church to foster community. Sometimes in a congregation our size, it can be easy to forget a person's name, and after too much time has passed, it can feel too awkward to ask. So that's why we have this Amnesty Sunday. It's a day of pardon, when we pardon one another for not remembering our names, and we extend grace and offer friendship to one another. So please, if you will, fill in your name before the time of our welcome later on. And when we get to the greeting time, here's what we're going to do. If you notice someone looking down at your name tag, don't be like, I got you. I saw that you didn't know my name. Instead, be very chill, be cool about it, and just greet one another as if you were old friends. Okay? All right. Thanks, guys. Love the participation. All right, last thing. Finally, after our church service today, we have our English Congregation Ministry Fair. You'll notice in the back, there are tables all around. The reason we have this ministry fair is because many of us here want to volunteer. We want to take part in the life of the church, but maybe we're not quite sure how we can plug in or how we can get started. So the ministry fair is here, and it's the perfect place in order for you to explore all the different things that we do here at First Baptist. There are going to be over 15 different ministries that are going to be represented here, and it's going to be a great opportunity to connect to meaningful activities. It's going to be a great way to experience the joy of serving with other brothers and sisters in our midst. Now, our service is actually going to end a little earlier. It's going to be a bit shorter So time won't be a reason to feel like you can't attend. So please linger a little bit. Take part in this ministry fair. You won't regret it. Now, the passage that was read to you in John chapter 14 is situated near the end of the earthly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus knew that he would soon head into his death on the cross, and before doing so, he wanted to prepare his disciples for what was about to take place. But it did not matter how many hints he had dropped about his impending death and resurrection. They just didn't get it. And it wasn't until after it had occurred that they looked back, and then finally, all those things just clicked. All the dots just connected. Now, those of you who are around my age or older, you'll remember there's a movie called The Sixth Sense. It is probably the only good movie that M. Night Shyamalan has ever directed. Please don't come to me after service and tell me how good The Last Airbender was, because I will not listen to you. Now, but in The Sixth Sense, there's a surprise ending that causes you to look back at everything that happens in that movie in a new light. And if you were to watch that movie again, there's no way that you would experience it in the same way because of the fact that you know what happens in the end. And that's how it was for the disciples after the resurrection of Jesus. In light of the resurrection, everything had changed. With the resurrection, they came to see that here was a Savior who defeated even death and one who was able to rescue sinners and reconcile them back to God. They knew that all that Jesus had promised was true, and they didn't have to take his promises with a grain of salt, with the exception of perhaps one verse. It's that one verse that was read to us here today. This one verse that sticks out like a sore thumb, even in light of the resurrection. In the verse that we read, Jesus literally says, "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these." And it begs the question, how is our work greater than the work of Jesus Christ? Surely the Lord must have been mistaken here. Or maybe he was using a bit of an exaggeration to get them hyped and gain some much-needed confidence for what was ahead. Because during the earthly ministry of Jesus, the Lord did some absolutely incredible things. Jesus healed the sick. The lame could walk, the blind could see, and the dead were raised to life. Jesus taught with unparalleled wisdom and knowledge. Do you realize that Jesus essentially created the parable as a teaching device? More than that, time and time again, the religious leader tried to set up these theological traps in order to discredit Jesus, in order to set him up for failure, only for Jesus to disarm each and every trap like a bomb disposal expert. Jesus performed all kinds of miracles. He turned water into wine. Jesus even fed the 5,000. So when we read this verse telling us that we, as his disciples, will do greater things, surely it can't be true. I can't raise the dead. I can't make the lame walk. I can't make the blind see. Jesus turned water into wine. I can't even manifest coffee unless I shell out $2.50 at Starbucks. So is Jesus lying to us? Is he using hyperbole? Is he doing something in which this is surely mistaken? Or is there a way in which what Jesus says about us doing greater things than he is actually true? Now, in my heart of hearts, I don't think Jesus was lying, nor do I think he was using hyperbole. Instead, I'd like to submit to you that there are two ways in which our work is actually greater than the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that these reminders here today would encourage each of us to serve him with great joy and with great confidence. Now, the first way in which our work is greater is because we are an imperfect people. The first way in which our work is greater than even the work of Jesus is because how the Lord accomplishes his work through us as imperfect people. Let me try to illustrate it by way of analogy, using an illustration from the late Donald Gray Barnhouse. Donald Gray Barnhouse was a renowned preacher of the previous generation. He was like the John Piper before John Piper. And he tells this story. He says, aboard a United States submarine in the waters of the Pacific, a sailor was stricken with acute appendicitis. The nearest surgeon was thousands of miles away. Pharmacist mate Weller Lipes watched the seaman's temperature rise to 106 degrees. His only hope was an operation. Lipes said, "I have watched doctors do it. I think I could. What do you say?" The sailor consented. In the wardroom, a space about 8 feet by 8 feet, the patient was stretched out on a table beneath a floodlight. The maid and assisting officers dressed in reverse pajama tops masked their faces with gauze. The crew stood by the diving planes to keep the ship steady. The cook boiled water for sterilizing. A tea strainer was used as an antiseptic cone. A broken-handled scalpel was the operating instrument. Alcohol drained from the torpedoes was the antiseptic. Bent tablespoons served to keep the muscles open. After cutting through layers of muscle, the mate took 20 minutes just to find the appendix. 2 hours and a half later, the last catgut stitch was sewn, just as the last drop of ether gave out. 13 days later, the patient was back to work. Now, if we consider what took place in that makeshift operating room deep under the sea, there can be no dispute what was accomplished was a much greater feat than if trained surgeons in a fully equipped operating room of a modern hospital had performed it. Certainly, board-certified surgeons would have removed the appendix with greater precision. They would have finished the procedure much quicker. They would have sewn cleaner stitches. But when untrained, unskilled naval members save a life, that's the greater work. When Jesus says, "Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these," this is certainly part of what he meant. For Christ, the perfect God-man, to save a lost sinner and pluck them out of death into life is indeed a great work. But for Christ to do the same thing through us is an even greater work. This is surely what makes our work so great, that the Lord would use imperfect disciples like you and me, that God would use broken vessels, that he would choose to accomplish his mission in redeeming the world through people who can be undisciplined and wishy-washy, through people who are angry or temperamental, people who are fraidy cats and self-conscious, people who are flaky and unreliable. It's amazing that he even chooses to use us at all. But what's even more amazing is how we can still see the gospel go forward, make progress, save lives, and we get to be a part of this advancement of his kingdom. Certainly, that's the greater work. So the first way that our work is greater than the work of Jesus is the fact that we are imperfect people. But wait. There's more. The second way in which our work is greater than the work of Christ is this. Our work is greater because of the power of multiplied impact. Our work is greater because of the power of multiplied impact. There's a general consensus among scholars that when this verse tells about us as disciples doing greater things, it is not saying that our works are qualitatively better than the work of Jesus. But read in the context of the church continuing the ministry of Jesus, we realize that quantitatively, we do greater things. In other words, our multiplied impact through the enablement of the Holy Spirit does accomplish greater things. Jesus healed the sick wherever he went. On our own, we can heal like Jesus. But think about the multiplied impact of all of the Christian doctors and nurses who have served as God's agents of healing, the countless Christian hospitals that have cared for the sick and have healed in Jesus' name. Jesus performed one of his greatest miraculous signs in the feeding of the 5,000. We couldn't do that. But think about all of the soup kitchens, the food pantries, and all the people who have been fed in acts of Christian hospitality. And you see the power of multiplied impact. Jesus alone saves sinners. We can't save people. We can't reconcile them to the Father. But think of all the people who have come to faith in Christ. All the people who have experienced new life because we shared the message of good news. Whether it be to a friend, to a family member, to just someone we loved and cared about. Today, God invites us into experiencing the joy of serving others by serving him. He calls us to experience the power of multiplied impact. We can accomplish a lot more when we do it together than when we go on it alone. By show of hands, how many of you guys have ever changed a spare tire before? Yeah, a good number of you. My guess is it probably took you some time between 15 minutes to 30 minutes to change out the tire. Maybe more if you're not handy. Now, in 1950, though, Indy car pit crews consisted of four men, including the driver. No one was allowed to get near the car except for this small crew of specialists. A routine pit stop would require, would replace two tires, fill the tank, and it took 60 seconds. It's pretty fast. Now, today, a crew of 11 members, excluding the driver, six are permitted direct contact with the car, five serve as behind-the-wall assistants. A full-service pit crew replaces all four tires, adjusts the wings, tops off the tank in now what is less than 8 seconds. Formula One pit crews are even bigger, sometimes have about 20 people, all of whom have a role to play. Let's see how fast a Formula One car goes. That was it. All right, let's see it again. That was it. That was it. Wow, for some strange reason, I want to mail out a package right after that video. I don't know why. But did you see how long it took? 1.92 seconds. When the work of the church is carried out by a small handful of people, including the pastor, progress is slow, sometimes awkward. But when every member knows and fills his or her role, the difference can be amazing to behold. This week I got an email from a sister who reminded me that many hands make light work. When we all work together, it's amazing how much we can accomplish. When Jesus gave these words about greater things to the disciples, it came as an invitation to experience this joy and power of ministry. Through the power of multiplied impact, God builds his church. Today, we invite you to join in, experience this joy and power in ministry. We're a church that believes in the power of multiplied impact. We believe that serving God is not just the work of a few professionals. In fact, I would like to invite all of those who are going to be presenting at the ministry fair today. Could you please stand up for just a brief moment? Stand up. Look around. Look at all the people who, yeah. You can clap for them. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you. They're volunteers just like you. Today, as the application and takeaway, would you attend this ministry fair? Sign up for at least one ministry opportunity. Maybe some of you guys have a beautiful smile. Maybe there's like a natural warmth about you that makes people feel welcome. If that's you, you might want to consider joining the ushering team or visitor center or the welcome committee. Become the first people to greet and welcome others into our church. Maybe some of you guys have an eye for design. Maybe you're savvy on social media. Our digital media team would love to have you. Maybe some of you have a heart for praying for others. our prayer ministry is a wonderful place to plug in. There are so many more ministries that I haven't even mentioned here. It's way better for you to go and see for yourself. And since this is a time of exploration, the commitments of most of these committees will be relatively short so that you can just get a taste of what it's going to be like. We want you to love serving here. I can't wait to see what the Lord does as we all pitch in and we experience this power of multiplied impact. Can we all go to the Lord in prayer right now? Father, thank you for involving us. Thank you for using broken vessels for your work. God, we pray that you would set us to do your work. Each and every one of us has a crucial role to play. We pray that you would give wisdom and guidance, that we would say yes to serving you, and that we would experience both joy and power in this journey. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.